Hello, this is Doyle McIntyre, owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosive store. We are repaired and reopened and ready to meet all of your dynamite needs. Spring is right around the corner, and you will be wanting to get rid of those pesky moles and whistle pigs. Well, at Amalgamated Murgatroyd, we have Type C household dynamite with the highest cyanide solubility ratings and plenty of tetragonal mercury fulminate, which you should always have on hand. So come on down to our newly repaired showroom right next to the St. Boniface Animal Shelter and let us meet all of your explosive needs. Oh, and thanks for all the prayers for Tony. He is up and running and will soon have full use of both hands. Now, we are proud to sponsor the Ringhausen Brothers alligator thing.
Live from the grave of St. Patrick, the patron saint of reptile handling, at the graveyard of Down Cathedral in Northern Ireland, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, that renowned herpetologist, fabled insurance magnate, the retired professional reptile rodeo clown, and originator of the Unipod Tap Dance, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring author, attorney, acclaimed glassblower, the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, juggler, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestler champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who has been to three different oceans and never gotten wet, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Hey, we got through it all. Ready to go.
And stop.
There it goes.
I'm trying to think what that theme.
There's something new and different.
I was going to say, what that's a scary thought.
What that theme music reminds me of. It's a little
60s.
It is
bikini,
it's from
bikini
a
show.
It's got
some swinging sound to it.
Yeah.
It's from a British show called Joe 90.
Oh.
From the 60s.
From
it was
the
like 60s? Puppets. He was a spy.
Sounds
like,
groovy.
Like Thunderbird Go or
sounds
those.
Like one of those Funicelli
movies. What was the World
movies.
Police movie? You know what I'm talking about?
The Puppets?
Yeah.
Was it Team America?
Team America, I think. World Police or something like that.
Yeah. Heck yeah!
Go for it.
So... It was like that, but 60s, yeah, swinging groovy.
Yeah, okay. Like, who was Mike Myers?
Austin Powers.
Yeah, okay.
So Doyle McIntyre's back.
Yeah.
I see that.
Got the dynamite place.
I thought he even died.
I thought he blew himself up.
Well.
Came close?
I don't know.
But
never
he's still
the
back.
Details of that.
Right
just
in the middle of an interview.
I just heard he came back.
Boom.
Right in the middle of a commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. And Tony.
Tony. He's going to get use of both hands now?
Apparently.
Ah, good.
That's good to hear.
Amazing what they can do in surgery.
Praying for Tony.
Now. Yeah.
Three oceans and never gotten wet.
So Atlantic.
Atlantic,
Pacific.
I'm trying to decide what the other one he might have possibly gone
Antarctic.
To. Antarctic? He hasn't gone to the Antarctic.
Indian? That's
Indian
about
Ocean?
It.
Ocean?
That's about it.
Those, aren't there five? What?
No, I think there's four.
Atlantic, Pacific.
There's seven seas.
Seven seas, yeah.
Indian Ocean. Arctic Ocean.
Antarctica.
I guess
Arctic.
There's four.
Yeah.
Antarctic's not an ocean.
Arctic.
All right. So what's your third
I
ocean? Oh, so you're just a liar. Ocean spray.
So you've been to Pacific Ocean.
I'm a poker player.
Yeah, poker. But anyway, so you've been to the Pacific Ocean quite often.
I've been to the Pacific Ocean.
And you haven't put your toes in there yet?
Yeah, I've been in the Pacific Ocean.
That's gay. That's what I thought. And you swum in the Atlantic.
Right after watching Jaws.
There you go.
So St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner.
That's right.
See, we're German heritage, so weren't the Germans at war with St. Patrick?
Probably.
Trying to remember history class.
Fell asleep then, didn't you?
That day I may have been sick.
We refer to him as the original reptile wrangler. He'd like drive the snakes out of Scotland.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a guy who could have cleaned you up your gator swamps.
He's like the Pied Piper of snakes.
Yes. I read a story.
Okay, we're ready for it.
About alligators in North Carolina. I didn't know they had alligators in North Carolina.
Oh, I think so.
But apparently they do. And they had a freeze snap. And it says that when a pond freezes, even if it freezes solid, it will not kill the gators. That somehow they know when the water is about to freeze, and they'll raise their snoots up through it. The water will freeze around their snoots, and they can still breathe, and they go into some state of like a...
Like a snorkel.
Like a catatonic state until the water thaws again.
Well, I mean, that just makes sense. Turtles survive. Fish survive. Amphibians survive under ice. No big deal.
Yeah, but a reptile breathes air.
So does a turtle. They live under the ice during the winter.
Where do they get their air?
They go into that like state where their heart only beat once an hour or something like
once
that.
Once a year. Once a month.
Didn't James Coburn train himself to do that in Our Man Flint?
Yes, he did. He had a little watch that had his thing that came out and tapped him to wake him back up.
To bring him back to life, yeah.
That was meditation.
Yeah. You guys are getting deep in these movies, I swear.
You ever watched James Coburn?
Yeah, no better.
That's
than
another
that.
Swinging spy movie.
Yeah, it was.
And he wasn't a good spy, I didn't think. One of the
he was wonderful. He had four.
He was pretty groovy.
Four girlfriends that were the different seasons, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Autumn, spring, summer, and fall.
But I mean, then you go to
winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Then you go to Dean Martin. He was in on the spy game.
Yeah, he was. Who was he? He was on. He was with the girl that got killed by the Mansons.
Yeah, Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate, yeah. I can't remember what his movie was, though. The Wrecking Crew. They were the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
And he was a swinging
But everybody took
also.
Off James Bond after that, and there's numerous of those things.
Do you know that James Coburn is on the cover of Band on the Run?
No.
He made it.
I'm very happy.
Because he was a swinging spy in swinging England.
And another guy that was swinging was one of the boxers. George Foreman, wasn't he on there? Or no.
Well,
George Foreman and his four kids named George Foreman.
Where's the album cover?
I don't have it down here.
Okay. But there's some boxer. I don't know if it's George Foreman or Smokin' Joe or one of them that was popular at the time.
Joe Frazier?
Is on the cover of Band on the Run.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Hmm. Okay, I've got a reptile story for you. And it's a darned interesting
Didn't you
one.
Just tell us one?
This is a different one.
Oh, this is a true one. Okay,
This is for my brother-in-law out on the East Coast.
Your brother-in-law? Okay.
Brother-in-law lives in like Drake or Lawrence, one of those. Some town that's like a suburb of Massachusetts along the Wassaposat River.
I thought this was going to be true. You're just making up names now.
Well, I don't know the name of the river. It's what you have to look up the river that runs.
The river?
It runs through like Lawrence, Massachusetts. It's named for some Indian. The Wassaposat River. And it doesn't have anything to do with my story. It's how they own the house. It's kind of on the edge of town out on the river, right?
Mm.
Apparently, this is over like Christmas break, you know. Getting ready, or whatever reason, he goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night, right? And somehow becomes aware, even though it's dark, that something is amiss.
Sure.
And there's a black snake in the toilet.
Ooh, that's a nightmare.
It's apparently, they have a septic tank. It's on septic. It's on the edge of some town. Septic tank cracked. Snake got in it. Comes through the pipe and it's up in the toilet. They later discover this because when they dig septic tank up to check on this, it's full of snakes.
It's become a snake hibernacular.
It's become a snake hibernacular.
Vernacular.
So in any event, you know, I guess he doesn't want to flip his wife out who's asleep.
So he tries to grab the snake?
No, he does not grab. Well, he doesn't grab it with his hands. You know those things that you have next to your fireplace that are made out of iron that you can kind
tongs.
Of tongs reach over and move the logs around? Yeah. He has one of them. So he goes and gets that to pull it out. I guess, you know, he successfully extricates it from the commode.
And it's a black snake.
And it's moving around pretty good,
It's black, I guess.
I can just throw that down in the basement and it'll eat rodents.
Well, in any event.
They're beneficial.
You know, he's got a good grip on it, but it's like, you know how a snake kind of coils around a little while it's doing it, and it like taps him on the arm and causes him to go,
you got the heebie-jeebies.
And drops it.
Oh, no.
House is dark. He can't find it.
Oh, no.
It's apparently, he thinks went into the basement, but, you know, he can't find it. So my question is, here's the ethical question I've got for you, and Greg will start with you.
You say nothing.
Say nothing. Absolutely
up,
nothing.
Surprised as hell.
Here's what happened to me. I went down to, we had a fireplace in our first house, and I brought the wood in from the outside being cold, and I went down to put another log on the fire, and lo and behold, here sticks up the head of a snake inside the house. I took one of the pieces of wood that I had in my hand, just beat the heck out of it. Kind of got a sack.
Were you living in a log cabin with Michael Landon or what?
No, we had a downstairs fireplace. And so got a sack, took it outside, threw it out in the back of the field. We were living next to a cornfield. It was, of course,
again
harvested. This is where my brother
this
Tim
is on the frontier?
This is where my brother Tim lives now.
Does he have snakes in his house?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But, I mean, he doesn't bring firewood in anymore, I don't think. But my point to my story was, never did tell her. She never knows unless she listens to the show that it ever happened.
Yeah, but, you know, this isn't just finding one in your basement.
Well, then you're safe.
Out. My question is, the snake has gotten away, and it's someplace in the house.
Yeah. Still there?
Don't you have an obligation to tell your wife that there's a snake loose in the house?
No.
I don't see what's that you've not going to benefit anybody.
That you fished it out of the commode.
It's looking for a place to hide now. Now, you might have a problem in the spring and summer when it gets a little warmer.
Okay, now here's my next question.
How'd that get in there? I don't know.
How do you prevent just a whole group of snakes from slithering up out of all the turlets?
Well, you have the septic tank cleaned out.
Well, I mean,
you get rid of them.
So, how did he explain to his wife that they had to clean out the septic tank?
I don't know. I didn't ask that.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah. Well, you know, you just say, the septic tank needs to be cleaned. Who asks questions like that? You know, if you told your wife
septic
tank needs to be cleaned.
Why do we need to clean it? How much is that going to cost?
It'll be worth it, honey.
Yes.
And we're going to.
Good response.
And we're going to rat the line out, too.
Rat the line.
With the Roto-Rooter. Roto-Rooter chop up, you know.
One of those things that chop up roots. You know.
Chop up roots. It just make a bloody mess of the line when you pull it out. But it would
get
rid of all the snakes out.
What's that red color in the toilet? There's some chunks in there.
Why? You're making some horrible faces over there, Alan.
Why are we talking about this again?
It was a reptile story. I thought it was a pretty interesting story.
It's pretty good.
What?
I disagree.
Well, top it, buddy.
Okay. Matt Helm.
Matt Helm.
Look
it up.
Matt
I think
Helm,
it's,
yeah.
And I think it's Muhammad Ali, the
and
way it looks.
And Matt Helm was Dean Martin.
Yes.
Dean Martin played Matt Helm as a detective in a couple different movies, I think.
Band on the Run looks like it's Muhammad Ali.
It's not. But go ahead.
Isn't?
I don't think it is.
Okay. It looks like it.
All right.
I'm sure it's not.
Okay. I'm not the music guy. You
but
two
by
are.
By the way, I think that snake is loose in the house. You have an obligation to tell your family about it so they can help look for it.
Maybe if it's poisonous.
If it's a then definitely. But if it's a black snake, it's
come
it's,
on.
It's you helping
just,
you out.
You're saying you just wait for Lisa to find it and then go, oh, how'd that get in here?
You betcha.
Or you could say, oh, yeah.
I meant to tell you this.
I set that free 3 weeks ago.
We had some mice in the house.
I was wondering where that went.
Rick brought that over.
Allie said it'd be okay. It wouldn't do any harm here. Help with rats.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, I'm trying to remember how to work.
Get into your
He's
phone.
He's going to say that line a whole lot more over the next few years.
Yeah.
Here. Okay. When we were in Europe, we took a trip to Europe. I got to thinking.
When you mean you mean you and me, and not Greg.
Not Greg. No, Greg was the.
Greg didn't get to go to Europe.
Short straw on that trip.
Greg, could you stay here and feed our dogs?
I didn't get that job. I don't think anybody trusted me on that.
A thing that we missed an opportunity at was to see a bullfight.
Oh, okay.
Do they do a lot of that in Italy?
No, but in Europe, a lot of parts of Europe, they still do. Like Spain, and it's even more popular, they tell me.
In Albania.
In France.
Oh,
really?
France.
I didn't think that was...
They bullfight in France.
Well, yeah, then you did.
And, of course, you know, like Mexico and a lot of South American countries, but Spain
did you know
and
that,
France.
Greg?
I knew Spain did a lot.
Did you know they fought bulls in France?
No, I did not.
And it was made popular from the days of the Romans. They like to
see people get gored.
See a little bullfight. You know, like, you know, see the gladiators fight a bull or a lion or, you know, something dangerous, like maybe a black snake.
Okay, you know.
That's loose at night.
You guys are farm boys. I mean, you've been around.
As a city folk.
Cattle, right?
Yeah.
Do bulls really frighten you all that much? I mean, you've been around bulls. You know, they don't go crazy.
Okay, the bulls that they fight are these special bulls that are raised in the Iberian Peninsula solely for the purpose of bullfighting.
So they keep poking them and stuff and make them mad and try to get a temperament out of them. That's
pretty much.
Just like Brad.
Huh. Well, Brad's trained
them. Name him. It is. His name's Ferd. Ferd.
Ferdinand.
That's the what bull. It's short for.
How did he get that nickname, or does anybody know?
Bradford.
His name is Bradford.
Bradford.
Like
okay.
The pear.
Okay. Thank you. Simple, but, you know, it went right over my head.
I assume they named Brad
and
after
his drinking buddy started just calling him
Ferd. For short.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of other things.
What are you calling Rick?
I can't say. I guess you can on the podcast.
My good brother, Brad.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were discussing that when you were gone last week from another show. We were talking about your announcement that you were going to be nicer and that you still got halfway through calling me an idiot.
And start.
But then stop and then say, nice now.
Because I'm nicer.
But the damage is done.
No, it's not.
If you go halfway.
The thought's there.
The damage was done because you're already an idiot.
Ooh, so much for that one. What is it, 27 days into the new year?
Yeah, but I'm still walking an out mile every day.
It's like sinning. If you think about doing the sin,
you might as well do it.
Then you're done. You've already committed it in your mind.
You think about stealing a candy bar at the gas station?
Don't bother. You've already done
it. Might as well put it in your pocket.
Wow. Wow.
It wasn't really the route I was taking.
Not me either.
But
I think you get credit if you don't go through with it. But
would you go to a bullfight?
Well, of course.
I'd like to go one just to see how it really, because I don't actually know how he actually kills a bull. I guess he starts by throwing darts.
I think there's a group of guys that soften it up first as part of the game.
There's apparently a set of rules for the bullfight, and it's in three phases. You know how like
electricity.
Like a football game has four quarters. Well,
so this
you
got
have,
three quarters?
You have thirds.
Okay.
And in a bullfight. And the first part
like a hockey game.
They'll bring the bull in and the matador gets to use his big cape, which it doesn't matter what color the cape is because bulls are colorblind.
Yes, it is.
So the red cape means nothing. It's the movement. And so, you know,
folks, he's wrong about that.
I
don't think so.
Bulls are colorblind. Trust me.
Not all of them.
The Iberian bull is colorblind, and there's no bull there. So anyway, first phase.
He's proud of that.
I know.
He runs the cape over the bull, and people cheer and yell and stuff. And then the second phase, they bring in the horses with the guys with the long lances.
The picadillos.
The picadillos, and they soften him up a little bit. They start to tenderize the bull.
Tenderize?
And they have to cut him just right in his neck muscles so he doesn't raise his head as much. And then they bring, for the third phase, they bring the matador back out, and he has a small cape that has a rod in it, so it's rigid, and then he has a sword in the other hand that he starts. But also, he has assistants. Like, you have a matador, and he has his picadillos, and he has his these other assistants that...
Had a picadillo or
that,
two.
...that jab the other, like, pikes into the bull's neck with flags on them. And then the final phase is the kill phase, where the matador jabs his sword down through the shoulder and into the heart of the bull.
And then he butchers it right there.
Well, actually, he kills it, and then they bring in a team of mules to drag the bull. And if it was a good bullfight, they drag him all the way around the arena. If it was a bad bullfight,
straight
out the gates.
Right to the butcher.
And he can dedicate the tail and the ears to, you know,
some lady in the crowd, some other guy's wife that he's hitting on.
That, which, you know, of course, will probably get you killed.
Yeah, but aren't these matadors like big idols?
Like huge stars. They're like...
They're Lotharios, right?
They're like, who's the Kansas City star right now?
Roger Miller.
No, the Kelsey.
Oh, Travis Kelsey. And, well, no, basically Taylor Swift.
So this bullfighter could come in and take Taylor Swift away from Travis Kelsey?
I wouldn't want to try.
In a minute.
If he had.
In a minute. Hey, you know, Kelsey, you know, may
in
have
Kansas
you know,
City
a big
guy,
but he's not carrying a sword under
no,
his
cape,
is he?
No, he might have a gun, though. Band on the Run, sixth. Celebrities were Michael Parkinson, Kenny Lynch, James Colburn, Clement Freud, Christopher Lee, and John Cornith.
There's more than that.
I said six.
That's, I think Greg is
and
right.
And the McCartneys. So
and whoever else is in the wings.
Yeah.
I think there's only like one other one left at that point. That guy from the Moody Blues.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. That guy.
The guy from the Moody Blues.
He just died. Like a month or two ago.
The go-now guy?
Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Moody Blues is one of those bands that stuck around and like changed members a whole lot.
I'll tell you, they got one song that I really liked was The Answer. I do a damn good.
Yeah, The Answer was good. I agree.
They're kind of like Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac, you know, Fleetwood Mac has been around like since the 60s. They started off with a group of people that weren't the same group they got now, other than Mick Fleetwood and, John McVie. They were in
those are the two originals.
There
were
two of the originals, but there was a bunch of other people that were in it that went away until they finally got around to hiring Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. Then they cashed
then
in.
Then they took off, yeah. I did know a little bit about them.
Yeah. They all had, like, flings with each other, like broke the
yes.
band up. Well, they made rumors and then broke.
Well, when
up.
You go, you know, take the wife of one.
They
of the
got a little bit
band,
together.
That makes a makes a difference. That create a little.
Didn't cause any problem
there.
For George Harrison and Eric Clapton.
No. George kind of took it on the chin there a little bit, didn't he?
I don't think it bothered him all that much.
Huh.
Rock stars. Hey,
I can go from there.
You know how it is,
Alan. Out the door.
You in a rock star.
You both were in the band when you were growing up in high school.
You know, I joined the band to...
get girls.
Get girls.
Yeah.
That never worked at all. What a waste of time that was.
Not even for the Moose?
Larry Lanard, his wife.
You got to remember how he behaved when we were in the band.
This is true. The stories have been amazing.
Hey, going back to your bull business.
Yeah.
You asked if I'd go to a bullfight. What about running with the bulls?
When I was younger, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to do it now, but that would have
been... Now I'm, you know, like, I got victim written all over me. I'm going to be the next YouTube video.
Stitches.
Okay, here's another question, you know. Does the bull ever win in your studies of bullfighting?
Oh, I mean, Gore's a bullfighter?
When the guys...
Oh, okay. There have been cases where the bull has been allowed to live. But once the bull's been in one bullfight, that is it. They never bring you back for another one.
Well, ligaments are cutting his neck, aren't they?
He's pretty screwed up. Yes. But the other thing is, he knows what's coming now.
My question, was, does he ever kill the matador?
Oh, well, yeah, the matadors get killed ever so often. They'll get gored to death.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof. Well, I didn't know that. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. Some of your most famous matadors have been gored to death.
Do they drag him around the ring once if they did a good job?
Excellent job. Drag him around one more time so everybody can cheer.
if he gets trampled and killed right off the bat, they drag him straight out.
That wasn't anywhere in Wikipedia.
Or maybe a minute.
So what's your best bull story, Greg?
I can't top that one, to be honest with you. I'd be inclined now to go to a bullfight now. I don't think it'd be as gory as it was, like, say, in the, you know, last century.
Do you ever watch bull riding?
But here's what gets me with bull riding now. Now they got the vests on, the protective vests and the helmet.
And mask
and everything. It's not like it was in the 50s, 60s.
Back when you were rodeo clowning, you didn't have any of that.
No, I had a barrel. that was it.
When you're wearing a vest and you get stomped on by a 2,000-pound bull.
It just makes a nice sandwich is all it does. Yeah.
I don't know where it's doing that much good for you. It might keep you from getting ran all the way through with a bull's horn.
Trample the bull riders?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They get trampled.
Oh, yeah.
Go YouTube for that.
Yeah. A lot of that. When they get thrown off, they're very vulnerable.
Well, who was the guy from 8 Seconds that got stomped to death by a bull?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's...
Hoof, right placed on the head.
Luke Perry died in that movie before he died in real life.
Oh, okay.
Luke Perry's dead. Look it up.
No, I don't.
I'm not looking nothing.
That's okay.
I think his last movie was that Hollywood, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Was he in that? What did he play in that?
He played the cowboy.
Yes.
It was coming to get the little girl who had been kidnapped by Leonardo DiCaprio back.
Okay, if you say so.
It was like kind of that slow part of the movie.
Yeah.
Going back to the bulls then.
But it was like a face-off between pretty boys.
The bulls that we had, like out on the farm, I mean, you know, you could wave capes at them all day and they really didn't do anything.
What's that, a bull at the farm?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, those bulls aren't...
From Iberia.
Aren't Iberian bulls, man. They're not going to... They're not...
You've seen Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
I did.
Okay.
That's a Hereford bull.
The scene in it where he's riding the bicycle and crashes through the fence and there's like a bull there. And he's like, gives it that look and then goes, uh-oh, that bull's going to attack me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies.
That bull didn't look like it was going to attack anybody. Till they went over and off camera snapped it with a wet towel a few times.
Now, they say that like a water buffalo over there in Africa are some of the most dangerous animals on that continent.
Yep.
Now,
the only thing I like to see is
hippopotamus.
That's what I was going to say.
I didn't say the, I said one of.
A battle between a hippo and a water buffalo.
That'd be cool.
That would be a thing to watch.
I think a hippo is the deadliest.
Yep. Don't want to get in the water with a hippo.
Never mess around with the hippo.
No.
You don't just run across their backs when they're all like landing there in the mud.
A good one would be a water buffalo and a rhino, too.
It really would.
Yeah. Two horns to one.
Yeah, but you're not going to see them together. You might see a water buffalo and a...
Yeah, at the watering hole. Yeah.
At the watering hole. There could be trouble at the watering hole.
Absolutely. Just wanted to get a drink.
Now is the time.
It is.
All right. Yeah. Well,
please stop.
There has been a lot of bull in this episode.
Yeah.
Hey, what episode was it?
No. Where's the sheet?
30, who would know?
It's
who would know?
38 is it up? It's 38.
Is it really? 38?
Number 38 already. Wow.
All right.
From Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
Adios.
is Prin, the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Heaver's Coffee. One cup and you'll be a heaver forever. And by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Federation. See you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network.